nickname in military supply.
The town has been devastated. We have no operating water and sewer system in the center of the village. We have structural engineer and inspectors going through every building in town right now to see which are structurally sound. Several have been condemned already.
And Vermont, it's the worst they've seen since 1927 is what they're now saying. I know others listening to this show have their own woes with trees that were uprooted and roofs that were torn off. There were some reports of that. And, of course, flooding, the big thing. 41 people and counting now dead as a result of Irene. And that's where we begin here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. While the Midwest is spared this time around, because, boy, the Midwest has had to deal with so much, flooding included, with swollen rivers and tornadoes that were just awful only 4 or 5 months ago. Now it was the East Coast turn. What happened over the weekend, arriving onshore Irene as a Category 1, slamming into the Outer Banks, working its way up the East Coast and causing all kinds of problems, a lot of it inland, some of it coastal, with the waves and whatnot, but it was reduced to a tropical storm. Ironically, there was some problems in New York City, but nothing like what was predicted to possibly happen. There was some flooding in the subways, there were train problems, and of course everything was shut down over the weekend on Sunday. That's what Mayor Bloomberg decided to do, and there was talk of overhyped by the media. Was this storm overhyped? Don't tell that to the people who are going to have to bury their loved ones because water washed them away. Or don't tell that to the people that were trapped in some horrible scenario because of water washing away roads and beaches and parts of houses and that kind of stuff. At least $7 billion worth of damage, probably much higher than that. That's a whole nother story, because how in the world are we going to pay for it? FEMA is running out of money. It means some kind of an emergency bill or some nonsense that they dream up. It's like Disneyland in Washington. They're just going to end up printing more money, I'm sure. So the storm also causes even more financial burden on a system that's broke. Sad to say, that doesn't comfort any of the people that are trying to clean up the mess in New Jersey, in Maine, in North Carolina. You know, pick a state, pick a flavor, and somebody can tell you about their problems. In fact, if you want to share some of the damage, certainly you can vent on the show and tell us what you've seen and actually how the cleanup process went on Monday. 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. Like I said, Vermont was really slammed by this. And you heard right at the top there saying that she was talking about, the young woman was talking about the fact that water it was catastrophic, basically. And what they were trying to do at the center of town, it was that awful. And so many of the businesses, that's the other part of that, surrounding some of the flooded areas, had no power. So you had people that were devastated by water, lack of power, all that kind of stuff. 13 states with major, major power outages. Yep. And it's like we always say about being emergency prepared, that's that backup generator thing. Let me give you a couple of fast stats at the top of this, because I keep saying Vermont, Vermont. In as far as rivers and record crests, you know, where, boom, they're over, 9 in New Jersey, 5 in Vermont, 3 in New York. Some of you listening to me in upstate New York know just how badly that you were hit with this. And because, you know, it's been spread around in a couple of different places, you could almost, like I say, look at a map, pick a place, any place, and we could talk about the damage and something terrible that happened in that particular town. So New York was certainly no exception, especially in upstate New York. Here's what Governor Andrew Cuomo had to say about his state.
rainfall set records. The flood levels have set records. And the amount of damage is devastating in some areas.
All right, so 650,000 people at least, that's the number, I think it's even higher, were stranded, especially in and out of New York, but Massachusetts, other areas, because you couldn't get out, flights were grounded, all that kind of stuff. So that caused a lot of problems on Monday. The Monday commute was horrific in the East Coast, or people even trying to get to the East Coast. So a lot of people dealing still without electricity, spending a night, another night without electricity, and dealing with floods. You know, the floodwaters are now going to reshape definitely a huge chunk of Vermont, certainly upstate New York, the same thing, because those rivers that you would walk by, have a picnic on, look at from afar, suddenly became raging, massive torrents and tore through streets and set up some treacherous situations. And hundreds, I mean hundreds of roads are closed, dozens of bridges just gone. Just gone. I said 1927, the worst they've seen in Vermont, so the worst in 80 years. Three people were killed in a landlocked state, for goodness sake. Do you think that they're expecting tropical storms in Vermont? The answer is no. And when a lot of people woke up and they saw the rain, certainly on Sunday, they woke up to find out that the businesses were closed, were flooded. They got 11 inches of rain, 11 inches of rain from Irene. I mean, the worst, just devastating in the central area, in the southern area, but really, really hit a lot of people hard. That's why it was interesting to see some of the reports, just sit back and watch the reports. I kind of just, pardon the pun, but soaked it all in with frantic calls back to family to make sure they were okay. But soaking in all the reports, it seems almost like some people in Manhattan were disappointed. Like, you got to be kidding me. They screwed us up for this, and this is one of our busy seasons, and they evacuated the shore and all this other stuff. But certainly the people in Vermont would not agree about Irene. Absolutely not. In Connecticut, 44% of all customers without power. Yeah, one of the worst. In Maine, 15% without power. Maryland, 20%. You getting my drift here? Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New Jersey, 18%. How about Rhode Island? We didn't even mention Rhode Island. Oh, yeah, that's that other state. 65% of all customers without power. Virginia, a lot of you listening to me in Virginia, 19% without power. Can you believe it? And I wonder how many people are listening to me, really. Do you have flashlights? Do you have a backup generator? Do you have candles, for goodness sake? You know, that happened. There was a run on all of that stuff as Irene was getting closer and closer and closer. Now, people are going to start making those flood claims, have to go through that nightmare with the insurance companies. Ooh, I wouldn't wish that on anyone. Emails next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use EscapeHarassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to EscapeHarassment.com and see our money-back guarantee. That's EscapeHarassment.com. Remember, Escape Harassment works.
America Tonight. If you want to throw in your 2 cents on any of the things that we mentioned here at the top or anything else for that matter, we are game. 800-259-5791. How in the world are we going to pay for all of this damage? Rest assured, we have a government that just prints the funny money, so it'll look like we're paying for it anyway. Ultimately, it just devalues our dollar rather even more. It's crazy when you think of it. However, because of the disasters we've had and the amount of money left in the FEMA left in the coffers, yeah, they're gonna have to twist some arms on the hill, and they're gonna figure out what to do. It means there's more time to listen to C-SPAN, where you'll have constant grandstanding on how we can't possibly do this, and we need to do that. So I'm estimating maybe all totaled at least 20 hours of blah, 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 bill. And then blah, 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 we need to help, blah, 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 the people, blah, 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 Irene. Yeah, I mean, just insert whatever you want. But that's pretty much what's going to happen there. It's perfect because then all the other stuff gets pushed aside again. And before you know it, poof, it's time for another break. It's the holidays. And then it's 2012 and we're worried about who's getting elected. So that's kind of how that movie is going to unfold on the Hill. Not to be overly cynical, but I'm just saying I've seen this played out too many times. Easily any of you could write the ending here. We know it, right? Let's go to Al in Canada. Hello, Al.
Hi, kid. I'm just watching the Fox reporter covering Hurricane Irene and getting covered in effluent. Did you see that?
I did. There was a picture of that posted all over the web.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I guess if Fox's new motto should be other news networks produce crap. At Fox, we eat it.
So
MSNBC and CNN, they can produce crap at Fox. We devour it. We get rid of it. You know, okay, I just heard Michelle Bachmann last night say that all of these hurricanes and tornadoes, et cetera, are God's punishment for – I wish somebody with the talent and charisma of a Michelle Bachmann – I think she'd make a good, excellent vice president. I mean, I'm not going to tell you Americans what to do, but us Canadians would be happier if she were vice president. But when she says that hurricane is God's punishment for the evils of America and Canada, I mean, the Canadians, we're just as evil as you, we're just as evil up here as you evil Americans are. And, you know, because how do you explain the fact that Cuba, the communist nation of Cuba, has never, ever been hit by a serious – have you ever heard of Cuba getting hit by a serious hurricane or earthquake where hundreds and hundreds of Cubans have
been – No, they've had tropical storms, but none like that.
It's always just one guy gets killed.
Yeah, you're right.
I've never heard of Cuba getting hit by a hurricane or an earthquake where hundreds and hundreds of Cubans are killed and billions of dollars of property damage in Cuba. So how does Michelle Bachmann explain that? I guess you'd have to say that God loves communism.
Yeah, that was – I don't know why she said that. I don't agree with that remark, obviously. I mean,
One quick comment about – you were talking about that annoying Englishman, Simon Cowell. There's another annoying – you know that Englishman that replaced Scary King? You know, Scary King's replacement on Larry King Live.
Piers Morgan, yes.
Yeah. Is it possible that he might wind up in the slammer for illegal wiretaps and bugging and invasion of privacy? I heard that he was going to get charged with wiretapping.
One can only hope that that'll happen, because I have to think that he knew what was going on, because he was the editor of the one of the newspapers that's right in the center of this, of Murdoch's empire. But I don't know if they got the goods on him or not. That's just what they're talking about.
When he got that, Ted Turner would have been the guy that hired him, eh?
Well, no, not Ted himself, but somebody who runs his network. Yes.
I'd like to know how many really, really important jobs in England are held by America. I'd like to know how many Americans get really, really important jobs in British media. You know, I honestly think that you Americans are too accepting of foreigners. You know, a scary King's job should have gone to an American.
All right, Al has spoken. An interesting twist on that at the end there. I'm not sold on Piers Morgan either. I agree with you there. But, you know, this is the United States of America, all flavors. You know how that is. And certainly the Brits have done well. You make a good point. But so have the Canadians, Al. Thanks for the call again. But, you know, think of the Canadian actors, the Jim Carreys, the Michael Foxes. You know, the list goes on, who have done well in the United States and are pretty talented. So, however, being an American journalist and trying to get work in England, forget about it. I think it'd be pretty tough. Not that there's nobody who's in that position, but it's not likely. It's not likely with the BBC, who would be your main artery, or any of the others. I don't think you'd have an easy time getting a gig there. Being an American and working and covering England or Europe, yes, for an American television network or newspaper or whatever, but not working for an English, no, or for a British, rather, newspaper or any of that kind of stuff, because they're definitely going to look around at the people there first. And of course, then with the laws, that's also part of the deal, too, proving that nobody there could fill that position and, you know, et cetera. Without further ado, quickly, let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you very much. This one comes to us from Joel, who says, Kate, I've been listening to you for a long time. Thank you for highlighting Vermont, although I think a lot of people are finally recognizing what's happened in Vermont. I've never seen anything like it in Brattleboro. You should see the streets. It looks like an earthquake actually went through here and then throw some water on top of it. Please, please, please keep us in your prayers and in your thoughts. It is frightening, and he says frightening in capital letters, and definitely we will do that, and certainly we have seen it, and it's very, very scary. Our hearts go out to any of you who are dealing with the aftermath of this tropical storm, and certainly to all the wonderful, loyal people at WVMT who listened to America Tonight and have supported it for a long time. Anything that we can do to help any of the people in Vermont, we will certainly do whatever we can, although now it's a matter of cleanup, and I think it's people on the ground that are trying to do that and getting in the National Guard, which they're there, and putting the pieces back together. At this point, that's all you can do because the damage has already happened. Somebody said something to me interesting, and I actually got an email here. I'll go to the email first. And this one's from Ed listening to us in Austin, Texas, and he says, Kate, I had a thought with everything that's happened as far as Irene is concerned. I listened to your show the other night, and I was thinking, wow, we keep hearing that we're going to have this great big jobs revelation, that Obama's coming up with some kind of a plan and to ail what is the problem with the economy. But I would have to think now there would be a lot of construction opportunities on the East Coast because of the damage. Who is going to dig out all those roads and some of those homes? And I can only imagine that there would be plenty of jobs in that industry anyway to go around. But I guess it's a question of, will they hire illegals to do it or will they hire others? You know, that's an interesting question because in the state of Texas, for example, and I've seen it. I've seen it every day when I've been up early enough and gone by a 7-Eleven. You have day laborers who are here illegally and they're waiting for jobs and people will pick them up and they'll get on crews. And so a lot of other construction guys who have spent their whole life in construction kind of got knocked out of that, not kind of, but did get knocked out of that game because there were cheaper people that they could hire to work on certain projects. But I would think with all of this labor and how fast they got to mobilize people, it might be a short time period, but I believe that you would see a little bit of a boom there because you're going to have crews that are going to be able to put some of this stuff together, at least some of the rebuilding projects anyway. It'd be more regional where that would happen, but the maybe underemployed construction person, guy, could be a woman, right, would be able to get a hammer job for a while anyway and see it, hopefully, if they're lucky, see it bounce back for them for maybe a year or so. I don't know. It depends on how badly damaged the area is and what they would be working on. But rebuilding, I would assume, that's got to be part of it. When you look at the homes and more than even the homes, you look at the infrastructure, they're going to have construction-type people working on some of it. All right, meet us on the flip side. We have a statement from Janet Napolitano about Irene and predictions. Let's see what you think.
Energy, energy, and more energy.
We all need it. Get the energy you need quick through the powers of wild forest extracts. Wild chaga and birch bark are the secrets of the forest, used exclusively by Russian athletes. Wild chaga is the world's top source of superoxide dismutase, the critical enzyme that blocks the aging process. Chaga is good for your heart and even helps support healthy arteries. Wild birch extract is the top source of betulin, a natural sterol needed by every cell of the body. And healthy cells mean a healthy body and a more powerful you. No wonder it's known as a king of all herbs. Experience real energy and power like you've never dreamed possible. Take Chago Charge Tea with Wild Birch Bark every day and Chagamax capsules to get the energy you need.
You deserve it.
Order today by calling 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Already 2011 is a record-breaking year for disasters. Are you prepared? Your family is your most precious asset. Could you feed them in case of emergency, food shortage, or job loss? At eFoods, we offer delicious ready-made meals. Cheesy chicken and rice casserole, beef stroganoff, chili with dumplings, with the longest storable shelf life and easily prepared in minutes by simply adding to boiling water. Get your 6 free meals by just paying a small shipping fee. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoods. direct.com/alex. Stored in sturdy containers to grab and go in an emergency. Emergency food at guaranteed lowest prices. Call 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/alex. Order your 6 free meals now and get free shipping on all other orders. Hearty, affordable food. Try it for flavor. Buy it for life. Call 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/alex. Get your 6 free meals shipped today.
The government's response to what happened with Irene? That's a big question people are debating, starting from last week. You know, everything in our lives, folks, I mean, really, is everything not political? It is. Everything has become political, including natural disasters. So Irene, of course, was no exception to the rule. Janet Napolitano, Homeland Security Director, had this to say about the wrath of Irene and the response, and of course, in moving forward, to be cautious as well.
What we're seeing now is also what we projected, which is that this would convert from a coastal hurricane event into an inland flooding event. And that is what we are dealing with now and working with the states on now. It's been a very heavy year on FEMA and on the funding that we have that's accessible to us. But we are working with the White House and with the Congress in case there needs to be additional funding made available.
Yeah, I have a feeling there's going to be lots of additional funding that needs to be made available. If you go state by state and you look at the economic blow, the floods, the deaths, all of that, and then what's it going to take to turn things around and clean it up, right? So if you remember, the response to Katrina, which is a whole different thing, really hurt, I think, George W. Bush. Is there any doubt about that? And now what happened this time around, I think there were lessons learned anyway from Katrina. So moving forward, whoever the president was, they're not going to take any risks, let's say, with a natural disaster, because it is definitely very, very political. So the stakes are high if you do not respond and prepare and figure out how to deal with the disaster. I think any politician could get gobbled up in it like the floodwaters going on top of them. And now you've got the whole cleanup. How do you clean this up and get this cleaned up as fast as you possibly can? And that means mobilizing people, getting people in the streets, getting the stuff up, helping people in their neighborhoods, because that's what's happened. With power down, that becomes really difficult. And with some of the trees, I'm saying giant trees uprooted that smashed into houses and taking care of all of that. Now, here's the key. I say whoever cuts through the red tape the fastest wins. If you were in the middle, just for a second, put yourself in that situation. If you're not listening to me, I mean, if you're listening to me and you're in that situation, oh, Godspeed. But if you're not, think if you were. If your house was flooded, and yes, you knew it was coming and you tried to do everything you could, you left and then you came back and this is what you find. Well, you can't close your eyes, click your heels, and make it go away. You have to deal with it, right? So whoever cuts through the red tape wins. Because when you're, let's face it, on edge, because anybody's on edge. I don't care how calm your personality. I don't care how much you tell yourself this is life. You get curveballs. Things happen. You're not in the right frame of mind because you're having to deal with whatever else in your world is going on, a job, family, whatever, and deal with insurance companies and deal with the problem at hand and getting a crew out and doing all the things you do. So whoever cuts through the red tape wins, because when you're in the hour of need, that's what you want. That's what you want. Now, another president, George H.W. Bush, had a little problem because he was blamed for not getting relief to Florida fast enough after all the devastation of Andrew in 92. So what happened was there was a state of emergency was declared, and that help was supposedly on the way, but it took a while to get there, just like in Katrina's case. It took a while for all the help to come. And in the case of probably both presidents, they didn't realize the full extent, perhaps, of the damage. They weren't, you know, when you're a president, it's the people around you who have to tell you. It's your FEMA director. It's the other emergency people who have to tell you, here's the facts. Here's what happened. You know, here's all these people that are homeless or whatever. And so both presidents, I don't think, got the true picture of what was going on. And you remember, certainly after Katrina, where people were saying, where's the help? Where is it? What are we going to do? We're devastated. We're not getting any help. And then you had Michael Brown, who, what was he, a horse trainer or something? I can't remember what he did. He didn't really have the background, the resume, let's say, for the gig that he got as the head of FEMA. And then he gets put in this position where people were calling him after Katrina. And at one point he said, I have to finish my dinner. He famously had to finish his dinner. And that was a costly remark, I think, for the administration. But it was, you know, it's about the response. And it is about the people who inform you, who let you know what's going on there. So you have the folks on the ground that can say they need this, they need that right away. And there were two examples of where I don't think they were aware of what really happened, but they certainly bear the brunt of that, of you're the where the buck stops there. You're not, you guys aren't mobilized. And I blame a lot of the Katrina stuff on Mike Brown, who just fumbled and then tried to turn it around and blame it back on the administration. All right, it's all about the blame game in politics, like I said. Daniel in Minnesota, hello. Oh, Daniel, did we just lose you? I heard a click. Click. All right, let's go to Don in Wyoming. Hey, Don.
Hello, Kate.
Hello.
Okay, you're pointing the finger back at the government. Who the heck in hell ever said that government's got to be the ones to respond to disasters? I mean, you know.
Hey, listen. Listen, let me stop you. If I'm ever in a disaster, I'm a bootstrapper, buddy. Let me tell you, you know that. I would save myself. I would never rely on the government. Never rely on the government. I agree with you.
I know you would, Kate, but, you know, I was mad back then with Bush, and then when they're blaming Katrina on Bush, was it George Bush's fault that the governor of Louisiana and the idiot running the city took all that government money that was designed to reinforce those levees? If those levees had never broke, Kate, and remember...
Oh, I agree.
Katrina missed New Orleans by 100 miles. Okay?
Yes, it didn't get
a direct hit.
No, it hit Mississippi. It killed Mississippi. The winds, the water, everything.
Yeah.
It was all about Mississippi. You're absolutely 100% right. And all that flooding was due to the levees that could have been fixed. And you're right. It was crooked as crooked can be, let's face it, in New Orleans. Terrible politics, and it was about that. But what I'm saying is also the people closest to the president, they have to tell him. That was the point of saying he wasn't aware. What's he going to do? He's not there. You have to have people like Mike Brown had to know immediately, and then they have to mobilize. Then he doesn't get all that blowback.
Yeah. You know, but the point is, you know, if the levees had never broke, we don't even hear the word Katrina anymore.
Yeah, you're right.
Another hurricane in the past, you know.
Right.
And this one is, you know, Irene, it didn't really do as much damage as they beefed it up to be, you know, and it's going to be just another hurricane from the past, you know. Not too many people have been killed, you know, and I've always said, well, I'd rather them hit us than let them hit the Caribbean or Mexico because, you know, those people down there don't have, you know, they don't even have any kind of infrastructure. We've got insurance companies, et cetera, fat cat insurance companies, you know, that can, if you're smart enough to live, and you live in a hurricane zone and, you know, you got flood insurance on your house or wind, you know, damage or whatever, then you're a smart person, you know. But yeah, I just, you know, once again, of course, the last few months I've been on this kick about, you know, let's forget about these idiots in Washington, America. Let's fix this country ourselves. You know, they're not going to do anything over there except, you know, listen to their lobbyists or whatever and try to get pork barrel projects. Let's pick this thing. Let me tell you something, Kate. You want to know something? I just was looking at interest rates. I'm streamlining my house down. I'm at 5%. You say 5% is pretty good, right?
Right.
I'm dropping it to 3.5. I never thought they'd ever go under 4. And I got a loan app out right now. By next week, it'll be off done and finished. 3.5%. You know?
That's crazy. That is crazy.
And I put a challenge out to people in America, especially our listeners. Maybe most of you out there own your own house. You know, maybe you've got a great interest rate right now, and that's great. But maybe you've got a family friend, as in my case, my sister, who's maybe never had that good a credit. Maybe you can be encouraging to them to increase their credit score and increase their, you know, their credit so that at this time where the market has so many houses out there and until they're sold, it is not going to turn around. We're not going to have those new construction jobs. It's not going to help the economy turn around. And with the interest rates the way they are right now, you know, help people, you know, somebody you know, if everybody grabs somebody they know, you know, and help them get a mortgage, you know, help them get into a new home or something like that. That person's going to be happy. You're going to feel good. You helped them. And let me tell you the most important thing, Kate. If you don't do this, let me tell you what the next option for anybody listening that has a home is coming up. The government is going to stop the tax home credit, meaning that I paid $13,000 last year in interest on my house, Kate. Okay? I got a nice write-off because of that, right?
Oh, yeah. Boy, you're talking to the choir there. I know. That's certainly one thing that would be canceled. We'll talk about it on the flip side.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Take the first step in home security. Install the Door Sentinel. Standard locks, deadbolts, and security systems can't prevent forced entry. The Door Sentinel provides door kick-in protection and can be added to your existing security system. The Door Sentinel is easy to install and will turn your home into a fortress. Make the call. 678-648-6757. That's 678-648-6757. Or visit them at SENTINEL securitygroup.com. SentinelSecurityGroup.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products. Like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet. Or Human Growth Hormone Support, Menopause Specialist for Women, and Joint Specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y HealthProducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
Things mostly related now to Irene and the cleanup and all that other sort of stuff. And Don in Wyoming, if you didn't hear that, chimed in and he said what I would say. Part is about personal responsibility, not so much about this cleanup stuff, but just about what's happening in the country. If we don't get the housing situation straightened out, it's going to sink a lot of people, because one of the things that will go away, and it is on the table and it's been talked about, is the mortgage credit. It's like the child credit that people get that have children. They can write that off, and it can add up to thousands of dollars. And with the mortgage and interest rates, of course, all of us, I'm sure almost everybody listening to me, including myself, you have that written off the taxes. So it would significantly affect a lot of people, because that would change your taxes, your tax bracket, and all that sort of stuff. But that's a discussion for another day. And wrapping that back into, and I mentioned the two Bushes who had problems because it becomes political. Mother Nature and responses to disasters because of the loss of life and property and everything else and what it does to an area absolutely has become, everything's politicized anymore anyway, but it certainly has, because also there's money attached to it. And we saw what happened in the wake of Katrina and the blame game, and whose fault was it? Was it Kathleen Blanco's fault? Was it Ray Nagin, who was the mayor, of course, of New Orleans? How much responsibility does President Bush bear for the Katrina response? I put a lot of that on Mike Brown because he's the FEMA guy. That's his gig. That's what he's supposed to do. If you appoint me, it's still the buck stops with the guy in charge. But that's the idea. The president can't run all of the organizations. So theoretically, the idea is you get the best guy in place, the best woman in place, and you know they got your back. That's what it is. You know they have your back should something happen, catastrophic, whatever it is, whatever it's related to, monetarily, a disaster, all that kind of, everything's related, all that kind of stuff, because it always comes back to money, to human life, and to responsibility. And what, that's a great question. What is the responsibility you think that you want your government to bear? What kind of a government do you want to see? Frankly, because of what we have seen, I think that anybody that's waiting on the government, you're going to be waiting a very long time. And because what I have seen through friends and even through personal situations, I rely on myself to do what I can and to the people around me. I mean, that goes back to the neighborhood thing, too, I think, because neighborhoods now aren't like they used to be, and communities aren't always like they used to be. If you're looking to get a leg up and to help somebody, it's that I'll help you, you help me, that sense of pride, that sense of community, that sense of state pride, the whole issue of big government versus small government can all be wrapped into some of these disasters, I think. All right, I'm going to Daniel now in Minnesota. He's back. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm not too shabby. I just wanted to make a couple of points if I could.
Uh-huh.
With Katrina and all the repairs after that, and it turned into a fiasco, and there's still blocks and blocks of houses that haven't been either refixed or rebuilt.
Absolutely.
And I hope that we don't take that same approach to the damage caused by this storm, because it's going to erode our whole East Coast infrastructure if we do.
And right.
It could lead to, I would think it could lead to a greater financial issue that we already have. It would just dig deeper in it.
I don't think that's going to happen. You know, I don't think that's going to happen because I think the people on the East Coast are, especially in New Jersey and Vermont, all those places, I think that they're going to make sure that that doesn't happen there. There's a difference between New Orleans and the corruption that is riddled still through the politics of that area. Not that they don't have that in the East Coast versus some of the things that will happen in these areas that are heavily populated, because, for example, like the New Jersey Turnpike or 295, you can't possibly not fix the areas along there because you're talking about millions of people who commute. There's no way that even on the state side, Governor Christie could get away with saying, we don't have money. We just went through a budget crunch and we're going to have a priority list. They have to prioritize these areas that are heavily populated, you know, so I don't think that happens there. But, of course, it's also waiting on dollars from the government.
I agree. And they have formed special committees to research it all and all these other things and kind of go into overtime. Maybe if we did away with the committees and, like, just call in the radio shows.
You know what? Here's the thing. I think they should do away with the over. I think there's too. Do you think there's too many committees? I don't think you have to have super committees and then the extra super committee and then the committee after that. Yes, I understand how you have to break into caucuses or whatever, but why does it have to be a committee that takes forever to study whatever issue? Why can't they make a decision? A, B, and C equals D. This is what we think should happen. Boom, here's the recommendation. We took 3 days or however long. We went through all the information. I don't get it.
I don't either. And the other thing that I kind of think about it is They always say they're reaching across the aisle.
Oh, they're not.
No, it must be huge because they can't reach each other.
That was the best thing I heard on this show. It must be huge. The aisle... Daniel in Minnesota has nailed it. The aisle is just too big. It's like the Vatican. You can't reach across. You will never, ever reach across the aisle. And it's not working. It is a broke system. There is no doubt about that. Daniel, thanks. That was great. It is a broke system. It's a broke system, and we know that. We're broke because the system's broke, and it's the same pattern over and over again. I mean, look, it's like any of us in our lives. I feel this confident, every single person right now, whether you're in Connecticut, Illinois, Texas, Minnesota, Vermont, wherever, every single one of you has done the thing where you constantly... whatever it is, in a relationship where you just want to, you love that woman so much that she's treating you bad, but, oh, you just got to be with her. It's sick. It's like a disease. And you keep coming back for more, and you do it over and over and over and over again, and your friends say, why are you doing it? It's the same result. You keep doing that. And so then finally you try somehow, and you break the pattern. Finally, the clouds part, and there's somebody else there, right? Or... you're looking for jobs and you don't understand. You keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. And finally you realize, I got to shake this up. I mean, I have all this experience. I'm a smart guy. Why do I keep doing this? I got to reach out to people. I got to expand my network. I can't keep sending applications, filling out applications for jobs that I see on the internet or whatever it might be. All of us have this. All of us have a struggle where we just can't seem to get over ourselves, and we do the same thing over and over again. And this is what I don't understand about Washington. I get it that you're talking about a lot of people trying to make decisions who have personal agendas and have constituents of different backgrounds in different states, and they're trying to get elected. Like I say, they're always playing for another election. But for goodness sake, there has to be some common sense there. You have to know that when you constantly do that same thing over and over, and you look back at our history, and it's there for anyone to see. You know, you could go into any television station, and it doesn't matter whether you think it's liberal or conservative. You could go to the Fox Network. You could go to CNN. You could go to CBS in New York or NBC or wherever, and they have archives of news stories. You could go back 10 years. You could go back 10 years before that and before that. Like, let's take the illegal immigration issue. And you would see the same patterns being repeated again and again. And that's what the stories would. The story in the faces might be a little bit different, but the end result is the same, and it's still the same original problem. And they never deal with the original problem in D.C. Why don't they do it? Don't they learn that you can't keep doing the same thing over and over again? Because it's the definition of what? Insanity.